And so I actually have a course coming out called the Glory Foundations class. And that's on our website. You can check that out. But it's a 12 session thing of just kind of like this weekend is kind of like an intro to our stuff. But I just felt on my heart to like do an extended time of teaching for those that just want like they just like I picked my 12 like what I felt like were the most important kind of subjects to like just stay whacked, to like build community, to like walk in this stuff forever or whatever, like to really lay this foundation. So it's kind of like a basics of the Glory class. So if you go to gloryfoundationsclass.com, you can register for that, or you can just check it out on our website. On our website, there's links to our YouTube as well, where we have tons of resources, thefirehouseprojects.com, what's that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, currently, but those aren't going to be up there very long, but if you act now, you might be able to find, I go through like the whole book of Romans, like literally chapter by chapter, like I spend an hour on each chapter, the whole book of Hebrews, 1 John, like all kinds of things or whatever. Because like my heart has been like, I've been drunk for like 8 years, and even what I'm going to talk about tonight, a lot of times people are like, oh yeah, you know, you're that crazy because you don't know your Bible or something, you know? Like the old charismatic criticism, you know? Like, you're so happy because you haven't read the Bible yet. It's like, no, we're this jacked up because we read the Bible. You know? Oh! Like, the deeper and deeper you go into this stuff, the more it lays a foundation for an unshakable grace. Amen. So that's what our class is about on the Glory Foundations class, and we have all kinds of resources. But I just love to get resources in people's hands. Like, a lot of those things you can just watch while you're doing something else. You know what I mean? Like, you just be doing the dishes, and you can just, like, put this stuff on and just get jacked up. You know what I mean? So. But, yeah, thefirehouseprojects.com, it's all there. Lots of free whacking vids, as we call it. Jesus. Manifestations, go for it, man. I love, like I said earlier, like if you can't like be yourself here, where can you be yourself, you know? Like if it, well, decently in an order or whatever, but when I preach, dude, I just want you to like just feel totally free to engage. Like Zion said, over the next few days, like even as we were like, they were all prophesying, like gold dust was starting to come in my hands or whatever. If anybody wants that, just check your hands right now. I mean, some people don't care, can't be bothered. But I think it's kind of fun, you know what I mean? Little oil or little golden like thingies. Maybe you never had that before. You know, sometimes I've been in meetings where like dozens of people have gold, but no one's like expected, so they didn't even notice. I was literally at this big like revival thing, like people getting healed and whacked, and I was like getting covered in gold, and I was just walking up to people and be like, check your hands for a second, and they'd be like, oh my God, I've never seen that before. I was like, yeah, you probably had it a dozen times and never looked, you know? Like a lot of the things are like that, because like God isn't far away or difficult. A lot of times the miracles are happening, you just haven't looked yet. You know what I mean? It's like seeing in the spirit or whatever. Like, I have a teaching on seeing in the spirit where I'm just talking about so many people think that it's like so difficult, but if you just sit and remember like the times in your life where like things have happened to you, you realize you've been seeing in the spirit your whole life. But most people are told they're crazy when they talk about it, or they're kind of told to just, you know, whatever. It's not difficult to see in the spirit. You were born that way. Like, you're a spiritual creature, right? So like if you just ask the average person on the street, they probably had crazier encounters than you, you know? But we bring them to conferences and try to teach them how to see in the spirit, and then they get like all worried and like try to figure it out when they've been seeing in the spirit their whole life anyways. Because they're already included, and like God was active in their life from, you know, thousands of years before they were born, you know? Yeah. I don't know how I got on that rabbit trail. But anyways, was it fun this afternoon? Was it all right? Was it like whack? Or was that sober compared to what you usually do? I don't know. Is that all right? I don't know. Well, I told you today I wanted to, like, the next few days, I have a couple of themes that I want to cover. And kind of today I'm still talking about like just the glory, like the whack, just being in the presence, and it was a little bit kind of like the supernatural joy in the last session, a little bit. Let's just take that, you know? Nothing like nothing like the supernatural joy of heaven. But tonight, I felt this during worship. It was amazing. Tonight, I just wanted to talk about how this isn't a shallow whack. Because I don't know if any of you guys have ever like felt that way. Sometimes when you're first getting like drunk or whatever, because the drunkenness of the world actually is pretty shallow. Yeah. You know what I mean? So even to use that language, sometimes it's like, it can be like, well, I don't just like want to compare like the absolute glory of God to just like this like negative experience that I had when I had too much Jägermeister or something. You know what I mean? Or like, and honestly, like some of the people that have gotten drunk or whatever have like, you know, sometimes we can, you know, you just in your joy or whatever, it can almost feel like some drunk people are just rude, or like they just want to laugh, or these people just want to have a good time but they don't really care or whatever. And honestly, like I've seen some people just sober up over the years. Like half the drunk people I've run with for like the last 8 years sobered up. I'll just be honest with you. You know, and that's like no criticism or whatever. I think they're gonna get it again, because I think everybody's gonna get it. But one of the revelations, I just feel like, because when I talk about like being drunk, I'm talking about just being overwhelmed and overcome by the love presence of God.
Yeah, that's not talking about.
You know what I mean? Like I love. In fact, sometimes some places I go, I'll just call it love drunk.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not communicating. It's not just about like, some people hear about the whack and they just think we're trying to get people to laugh and fall down or something. And that's cool. I love it. That's amazing. But like, the being jacked up on God is like so rich. It's like just intimacy with like the being that is all in all, you know? Like, it's like the glory of God. It's like, how do you describe the glory? That's why we use crazy terms like whack or whatever. It's like, how do you put it into language? It's like, like, I think a lot of tongues is even just that, like, you're experiencing something that's so crazy. You just are like, how do I rock it? The only trouble, someone said the only trouble with this gospel is putting it into language. The only problem in this gospel is how to describe it. It's so good. But you know, like one of the things I realized over the years with like some friends that would just kind of, you know, like, I don't know, like misunderstandings, I guess, about the whack, you know? One of the misunderstandings that would often cause people to either get hurt by this thing. Because like I've been in this for a while and I want to see it like pastored well too, you know? Like, I want to see it, like, go deep and wide, like the old song. Like, communities of people that are living this out and not just, like, kind of like, whoa, I'm too drunk to care about you, man, or something. I don't know if you've ever encountered that or felt it. Something. Sometimes in your insecurity, you can even feel that way, like, I'm just me and Jesus, bro, like, whoa. And, like, all your relationships are kind of, like, suffering, and you're just kind of, like, on this strange, like, spiritual odyssey, which is really just kind of an insecure distraction or something. And no criticism if that's where anyone's at, like, or whatever, but I just feel like there's such a love that we're experiencing, like, and that's what you guys are drinking here. I mean, how many of you guys have felt love this summer like never before, you know? Like, just, I mean, even right now, like, during worship, I was like, my God, dude. It was the bridge that was really getting jacked up with that song. It's like, never quit, never quit. Is that what you're saying? Or never stop, or never...
Found a God who never stopped loving.
Never stop, yeah, never stop, never stop loving.
Yeah.
Dude. That's the whack, man. It's like the whack of unconditional love. Which is like the deepest and richest substance in the universe. That we're drinking, you know? Which is why I love that you guys are taking a whole summer to get to know what you're drinking. You know what I mean? So that when the impartation comes, because a lot of times when you get jacked, you're just experiencing things, you have no idea what's going on. You know? But as the understanding comes, it makes it so that you're able to sustain that as a lifestyle.
Well,
and I believe that's a way a lot of things happen in the spirit, is you experience it first and you don't understand it. And then, like, this understanding comes just to kind of encourage you and bolster you that you're on the right track. But, so what really keeps me whacked, dude, is, or you could ask some of this, because some people are still kind of struggle, like, they're like, I don't know if I feel it very often, you know? So I want to speak to that a little bit. Like, one of the things, if you're ever like having a dry day, sometimes it's remembrance. You drink in remembrance, and when you remember, you drink. And so a lot of times remembering, you're like, I don't know if I'm feeling it right now. Remembering, I believe this is so much of why Jesus came, is about just reminding us of what's real. Awakening us to the reality of this eternal, endless love that we've lost sight of, that we forgot at the fall.
That's good.
Wow, that's nice.
And so... So every now and then, if you're feeling sober, or maybe you've never felt the whack, or maybe you feel a shallowness to something, and you're just like, dude, I just want... Because really, like, the cry of the human heart is like, I just want God.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just... You might not know how to put it into words, but we're just like, I just want to live for God. Really? You love your father. You love your mother. You love God. You want to live for God. Everybody does, even if, you know, they haven't realized exactly what that is yet. Just like, I just want to live for God. I don't really care about just like being drunk or whatever. I love God.
Yes.
You know? But, and then the joy is a byproduct. In fact, for a lot of people, if you're actually even hung up on like, I want to get drunk or whatever, just don't worry about it. It'll happen. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a freeing thing. It really is. Like, because trying to get the joy doesn't work. Right? Trying to get the love, trying to get wax, that doesn't work. That's what's so weird about it, because you're like, dude, yeah, like, you go, let's go after everything in the kingdom, but then if you actually really try to go after it, it doesn't work for you. You're like, what is up with that? Because if God let it happen by your efforts, then all of a sudden you don't need that relationship, and all of a sudden it's just that same independent, self-reliant thing that happens, you know? So people are always like, how do I get whacked? Or how, or whatever it is, how do I do miracles? It's like, well, give up. Or sometimes, because this question, it comes to all of us, like, it's the question that puts you back on the treadmill of religion so often. Like, you weren't on the, maybe you got off the treadmill for a while and you're actually resting in the glory. But then this temptation comes to like, how do I do more than I'm doing right now? And then we get back on that thing of self-efforts. So whenever I hear that self-effort question, whether it's in myself or in someone else, they're saying, how do I get more miracles? How do I get more whacked? How do I see more of this? My first thing is to just say, you can. Which is like, wait, I thought you were like a whack minister. They're like, how do I get whacked? And I'm like, you can't. And it's like so kind of offensive, you know? Like, how do I see more fruit in my life? Maybe you're like, I don't, because I run in some circles, they don't want me to use the word drunk, so I find other language. Like, when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, what do you think he meant by life? It's not duration of days, it's quality of existence.
Yeah.
So Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Whenever I see the word life in the Bible, for the most part, it's really literally referring to an ecstatic quality of existence, aka the whack. So if some people don't like that word, there's like about 10 different words you can put in. You can use joy, or you can use bliss, you can use whatever, different words that are pointing to the same reality. Because let's get past the words, right? Semantical arguments. We're all on the same team. We just want to experience the reality. But yeah, so whenever like I want to experience the life of God, I want to get all jacked up and like minister to the nations and love on people, and they're like, yeah, you can't. You can't do it. It's like, wait, that's not very empowering. Well, wait a second. What I mean is in your independent efforts or by your initiative. You know, Jesus said, I do nothing of my own initiative. Right? How many, if you look in the NASB translation, that phrase, Jesus did nothing of his own initiative, is there like in the New Testament like 10 or 12 times. It's like one of the most common things that it talks about with the life of Jesus. He did nothing of his own initiative. So like even Jesus Christ is like walking this planet, like, you know, coming up to heal someone and realizing that like he has no abilities in and of his own individual identity just to set that up, you know. Yes. It's always reliant on the us. Wow. Yeah. The us, aka the Father, the Father's initiative through the body flowing, or by the Spirit. And so that's what can get so confusing sometimes. You're like, I want to manifest like more glory. But it keeps you so like just kind of humble and like reliant to just know all you can do is just go with the flow.
Yeah.
That's it. And so once you realize Christ lives inside of you, the Father lives inside of you, the Initiator lives inside of you, or being led of the Spirit, being led of the Holy Spirit, and led of the Trinity, and you're just like, you learn instead of trying to initiate healings, you're just like, you just live. You just wake up and you're like, hey Lord, I like you. What's happening today? You know what I mean? But you don't have to wait like 10 hours to hear the word of the Lord, because that's the other thing. When I first heard it wasn't by my own initiative, I thought then I had to like press in for a long time in order to get the word. But since I'm already united with Christ, right? The mystic secret was that Christ was already in you. Then I was just like, oh, there you are, Lord. Cool. And you just go with what you feel from your belly. Out of your belly flow rivers of living water. So what's the secret? How do you manifest? It's just follow Christ in your belly. And that might look like different every moment. In fact, it does. But that's what's so exciting. In one moment, he might have you lay hands, but you just kind of learn like, but it takes the pressure off, man. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like, how do you build a ministry? You don't. You don't. Hallelujah. If ministry happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Some of you are going to work at gas stations for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Praise God. But you'll feel it out of your belly if that's what you're meant to do. You know what I mean? You'll feel it. And you'll love it, and there'll be tons of fruit on it. Yeah. And fruit isn't like souls saved or people slain. The last time I checked, the fruit of the Spirit was just love and joy, yeah! Patience, kindness, stuff that's like freaking amazing, like all the time. Like, because you'll get bored with miracles and souls saved and like all that stuff. You know what I mean? You will. If you haven't seen it yet, you think it's amazing. And then after you pull a couple of people out of wheelchairs, you're like, that really didn't satisfy at all. You know? But you're like, but dude, whenever I feel the joy of God.
Yeah.
But you can't initiate that joy, but the good news is he already took that initiative. And so it's just remembering. But you know, Jesus came to give us a reference point. This is why I love the gospel, dude. And it's all about the gospel. I mean, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Because here's the difference between what we're preaching here and like the kind of confusing New Age like similarities that are to our message. The difference is that we have an eternal reference point to remind us.
Yes.
Rather than like trying to remind yourself.
Yes.
By whatever means. Yeah, come on, somebody gets it. Yeah. It's a big deal because there's questions about Jesus right now. People are like, why do we need Jesus?
Yeah.
Because listen, like, you could never awaken yourself.
Come on.
It's like a sleeping person doesn't go, wake up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You needed a little help. It's okay. No. You needed a little help, dude.
so good at math.
So Jesus steps into our time. And I love what they were singing. Jesus comes into our hells. You know, I love in 1 Peter or whatever, or was it 2 Peter? It says Jesus went to the prisoners in hell. But Jesus steps into our confusion, you know? And this is like the depth of the whack, like that I just wanted to soak in the tangible honey love tonight. That honey love that's expressed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That says, listen, you might not feel whacked. Like, but I don't care. He doesn't really care. I mean, he wants you to feel good, but he's like, there's no like measuring stick or like, you're not greater or better or worse, like however you manifest. Like every person in here is going to manifest differently. Everyone's at different places in their awakening. And Jesus is just like, yeah, but I came into flesh just to hang out with you and just to be with you. My presence, like engaging you in every state of your awakening. In fact, what I love about the cross and like even taking communion, you know, and the remembering at the body and the blood is that when we were at our worst, like most unawakened state, whoa, like when we were the soberest we've ever been, like it was probably a pretty bad day when like humanity decided to kill God.
Yeah.
That was probably, it probably doesn't get much soberer than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it probably doesn't, like, you probably can't get any more, like, unawakened than that. Like, it says he came to his own, and his own did not recognize him. Like, here comes your maker, here comes your daddy, and he's like, I just want to love you. I love you. And we're like, who's that? Yeah. Oh, kill him. It's pretty bad. But at that very moment, this is what I think, I believe communion is so powerful to me now. It's like, at that very moment when we were in our worst state, he said, take my body.
Wow.
Like, take my very blood. Like, take it all.
Wow.
Like, that's what gets you wet. Like, when we talk about drinking the blood, like, it's fun to just do this little activator, you know, I like that. Faith activators for those old school guys. Toking is a little faith activator. It's just another little reminder or whatever. But, and that's cool, like drinking the blood and everything, but what it really means to drink his blood is to realize that when you were at your worst point, that all of the glory of God was given to you, is like shed all over you.
Whoa.
It's like my friend Stacy said, the blood is like, just imagine all the glory of God condensed down into 8 pints of blood. And take one little drop and put that on your tongue and see what happens. When we were at our worst point, his arms are open wide, his heart is wide open to us, and he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know. They don't even know. So if you imagine that at any point he would withhold anything from you, today you couldn't be worse than the day that you decided to kill God. So it's like, if all the glory of God was given to us at our very worst point, how much more at this point in time? You might think you're having a bad day, but my guess is you didn't wake up trying to kill Jesus today. But even if you did, it doesn't matter. His heart is as open as ever.
Yeah.
And this is what we're drinking.
Yes.
We're drinking unconditional, unstoppable love.
Wow.
And so, like, someone might not like your little rolling around manifestation or whatever it is where you're like, shoo, shoo. That might annoy someone, but you know what? That's not the substance of our message. It doesn't matter their opinion on that, but why don't you try communicating to them about the blood of Jesus? And see if they can stay sober, you know what I mean? Like, try communicating to them about endless, unstoppable, unconditional love that joined us in our hell.
Yeah.
I love the incarnation. Have you guys had a lot of teaching on the incarnation yet? Like John chapter 1 and stuff?
What's the incarnation?
Dude, I can never get enough. Let's turn to John 1, dude. I can never get enough of this, dude. Literally. In the beginning was the Word. My Jesus. The mystic gospel of John. You want to get into mysticism? Just check out John who laid his head on the breast of Jesus. Some people, I've heard some people say that like John 1 was kind of like the restart button for Genesis 1.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in Genesis 1 it says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then like there was a fall. But John chapter 1 is kind of like the Christocentric version of Genesis 1. Where it's like, okay, you thought in the beginning there was a fall, but check this out. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, which the Word is God's final statement, both about the nature of God and the nature of man. Like the Word, I love looking at the Word of the Word. Because the whole concept of logos or whatever, which is the Greek word for word, you all know. The logos was like kind of like if you had to talk about like the body of someone's work or whatever, like the ultimate thing that they were trying to communicate. Like if it was like Michelangelo's like Michelangelo and the body of his work, like all of his art pieces and the entirety of what he was trying to communicate through his pieces of art, you would call that Michelangelo's logos. So in the beginning, there was the embodiment of everything that God was trying to communicate through all of his like works, demonstrated in this word called Jesus. Everything that God wanted to communicate about himself in all the body of his work, and everything that God wanted to communicate about you, through all this communication is summed up in this word. The word, the ultimate thing on the heart of God was there in the beginning. With God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And that life, see, there's the word life again. Just think of the like ecstasy. In him was the ecstasy. And that ecstasy was the light of men. And the ecstasy shined in the darkness. The ecstasy of what? The Logos. But the darkness comprehended it not, or did not overcome it. Could never extinguish it, one translation says. Thank you, Jesus. Darkness is so silly. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, who came as a witness to bear witness to the life. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to the light. This is the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to be the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Born not of blood, or of flesh, or of the will of man, not of our initiative, amen. But verse 14, dude, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, of his fullness have we all received. There's another all word earlier, I think I just skipped over it. It says, that all men through him might believe. It also says he was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. It's a lot of inclusion language in there.
Scandalous.
Jesus. But I told you I wanted to like chat a bit about like the nature and character of God too, you know, and I love the Trinitarian theology and stuff that's emerging just because it's like there's so much glory in looking at the community and the family that's always existed within the Godhead. The communion of love. But each person has a name that by which they communicate themselves. There's the Father, Just meditate on the fact that of all the words that the Father could have used to describe himself to us, the Father was the choice there. The same with the Son, Jesus Christ. So many Christians have never even just stared at the name Jesus, which means God does all the work. The name Jesus means God does it all. It's like, and so how have we like communicated a message completely different than the name of Jesus for so many years? Or even Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But like, people talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Holy Ghost.
And yet they don't believe that the primary thing that Holy Spirit does is make you completely holy by living in your spirit.
Holy Ghost.
Like so many things are like right before our eyes, you know?
La 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 la.
But I just want to look at Jesus tonight though, specifically of the three.
Jesus.
Whoa. The Word made flesh. So God wanted to communicate a word to us. Because I'm telling you, what we're drinking, we're really whacked on the Word. We really are, dude. Like I have not moved past the Word. Jesus. Jesus is our eternal reference point for what we're drinking. The eternal intoxicant, the blood of Jesus.
Whoa!
Woo! Yeah, just put your hand on your neighbor and just release the blood of Jesus. Give him a drink of the blood. So Jesus comes into the world to communicate God's primary like message to us as the Word becoming flesh, choosing His name, His name to mean Jesus or Yahweh's salvation, meaning God's salvation, right? Literally. But even the word salvation is like this big, heady word, right? If you want to sum it up, it's just God taking the initiative to make all of humanity whole. The very name and nature. We're staring at the deep things of God right now. Like, it doesn't get deeper than Jesus. This is why I get excited to preach the gospel of Jesus, because I can come to a person and say, God already took the initiative to make every struggle and problem and like shortcoming and whatever in your life completely whole.
Yay!
Completely to come and actually do something, not just, oh, the Sunday school answers Jesus.
Yay!
Like, well, let's keep it all about Jesus, brother. Okay, awesome. Does that mean you're communicating to people that they can be absolutely, completely, and instantly whole right now without any efforts of their own? Because that's what I mean when I'm preaching Jesus. Or are you just trying to like give people like a get out of hell free card or something? I don't like to communicate like just some like crazy thing. Do you have revelation of the Word? Do you have revelation of Jesus Christ? So that at any moment in time, you know you can never be separate. You know that no one around you is ever separate. And not just are they with God, but they're in God, that the words become flesh, dwelt among us, that they're inseparably united, that when the Word became flesh, Athanasius said, like, God became man that man might become God. All of humanity being absorbed into the Godhead inseparably, like, dignified and exalted to the God quality of life.
Yes, Lord. Come.
Jesus Christ to me communicates an inseparable, effortless union. This is the wine, dude. Oh, Jesus.
Yay.
It's not just like a little thing where you're like Shabba and someone falls down. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, bro, like I'm so drunk that my marriage works.
Holy God.
You know what I mean? Like, I love my wife. Like, I live with a dozen people, and we try and test each other's patience all the time, and someone accidentally takes someone else's towel, and someone forgets to buy the laundry detergent, blah, 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 and this, and that, and the other thing. And at the end of the day, I'm just filled with the virtue of the Godhead to love them.
Yeah.
I can be put in any high-pressure situation, and the fruit of the Spirit comes out. Dude, that's drunk.
Yeah.
Like, someone slaps me, and my natural response is to turn the other cheek.
Yes.
I'm not like, I should turn the other cheek. When you've been drinking the inseparable union with the Godhead in Jesus Christ, you feel the virtue of heaven flowing through you, it's automatic to turn the other cheek.
Man.
You like to, like, share your stuff. Like, you're generous, you're patient, you're gentle with people, you're kind. This is whack, dude.
Wow.
It's good news. It's Eden restored in Jesus. Greater than Eden. Oh. Oh, man. I love it. I love it. I literally feel that honey cloud of love. Jesus, we love you. You've loved us so well. You have loved us so well. I just want to do something like, if you just struggled with, like, whatever, I don't want you to raise your hand, but if you just struggled kind of feeling that love of God recently or whatever, or just like, you just felt like, I think I know it, but I just want to feel it deeper. Just put your hand on your belly or something, you know? Because tonight, I want to help us. I really do want every one of us to remain love drunk for all our lives. I really do. I like you guys. And I don't want you to have to suffer with boring, sober, dry, dead experience in life. You know? And I do have the solution called the gospel. But so tonight I just want to soak in that a little bit. I just felt it all night, and I knew that we were going this way tonight. And I just feel like God wants to just unlock our hearts to feel that love anew. Because for some people, it's like, you know, they see the others, like, rolling around and drunk, and they're like, what about me, Lord? Like, I want to feel your love. And every one of you deserve to be loved. Every one of you deserve to feel ravished. Yeah. Every one of us deserve to feel ravished by love. But I did so many bad things. Listen, God didn't. When your kids, like, punch you and kick you, you get over it pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? God's not what you thought, maybe. I don't know about you, but I always feel like my kids deserve my love. I got two little kids, Samuel and Rainbow. I'm pretty sure even if they killed me, literally, you know what I mean? Even if my kids decided to, like, crucify me. And some of you parents know you've been through something like that, you know what I mean? That you still love them. You're still madly in love with your kids, you know? All right, let me tell you a little story. Godfrey Bertel couldn't be with you this summer, I guess. I was just hanging out with him last week, and he came to Fort Wayne after we wanted to have him for like 5 years, and it was so fun. We had him in last week, and he was drunk. But he shared this story about his mom, and about it's on the same topic, you know, of this unconditional, like, crazy, just wild love that we're whacked on. And he's like, I was the youngest of five kids. You know, he's telling his story. So Godfrey's like the youngest. Forgive me if I'm stealing your thunder, Godfrey, if you watch this. But this was the most powerful moment of the weekend when he was sharing this with us. He said, I was the youngest of five kids, and I was the troublemaker. I was like the kid that was always out late, and my parents didn't know where I was, and then they'd find me, and I was like high on drugs, and I was just wreaking havoc like all my teenage years and into his younger, I don't know how long it was, but. And he said he went to visit his mom and she was going into a surgery, and he was like, I didn't know this would be the last time I'd see my mom, because she didn't recover from the surgery. She actually passed away at that point, for the last time he'd see her, the earthly plane. But he's like, so I went to visit her because she was going into surgery, and I was just like, Mom, I love you, and I know I've been in a lot of trouble, or whatever. So like, I just went to visit her, and she's just like, looks at him, and after all the stuff he put her through in life, she goes, you are a wonderful, wonderful son.
Yeah! Holy!
And he's like, that's the last thing she ever said to me.
Wow.
And he's like, in that, I'll tell you what, my behavior never dictated that through my whole life. He's like, but my mom just looked at me and said, you're a wonderful son.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude,
shoot,
that is what we're drinking.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like, I don't connect with all these like silly, like sarcastic jokes in the glory. Sometimes the borderline between sarcasm and the prophetic is a very thin line.
Amen.
Around here.
Amen.
But I was telling you, dude, like the thing, you know, the jokes are awesome and all this, you know, hilarious. I love crazy wild manifestations and, you know, gold dust and whatever. But like, dude, this freaking love. Like the unconditional love of God. I'm convinced that like, doesn't matter who you are, man. Like, you can drink this. You can drink this cup.
That's good.
Like, sometimes you just gotta take a minute and just remember, like, what the cross came to communicate, which is that when we were at our worst, all of heaven was given freely to us. We're like, how do I manifest more glory? The real question is, well, if you're on your worst day, how do you stop it? Really, honestly, some of you, that'll be the transformation that happens, you know. My life has gone from more Lord, to less Lord, I can't take it. By no effort of my own, dude, there's literally been times where I thought my face is going to melt off. And I didn't do anything different than what you're doing right now.
Whoa. Yeah.
I'm just convinced that this revelation is going to hit anybody and everybody. And that's what's the cool thing about the message of the cross. You're like, well, it's not yet clicking with me. Well, here's some more good news. Holy Spirit's primary job on the earth is to reveal Jesus.
Yeah.
And Holy Spirit doesn't sleep. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 forever, Holy Spirit is finding ways to communicate Jesus to your heart. So my guess is, no matter how difficult your resistance to awakening might be, it's only a matter of time before God, in all the abilities that created the universe, is going to find a way to connect that message of the cross in your tangible daily experience. Like, I'm pretty sure Holy Spirit's going to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's already finished, but some of us just, it's too good for us to believe. But Holy Spirit's just going to keep coming. Just keep coming at you until you're so hammered that every drunk person you've ever met is going to seem sober to you. I promise you. I can promise you that everyone in this room is going to be eternally blissed out on the love of God. Because your resistance is only so strong compared to the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That's what takes the pressure off me as a minister nowadays. I used to feel like I needed to help God out, and then I realized that if Holy Spirit is working 24/7, like the God of the universe that created everything, including your heart, probably doesn't need much of my help. And no matter where you're at, and I'm gonna play a video tonight as we come to a close, a little video, but well, that's another. I love Inception. I love Inception because it's like the gospel. It's like Jesus came while you were sleeping and planted something so deep inside of you that you can't shake it. But I want to play one of my favorite movies is with Robin Williams. I love Robin Williams. Actually, I shared this last year, and then it was really crazy that Robin passed away this year, and just kind of some similarities, because my favorite movie is What Dreams May Come. One of my favorite movies. Yeah. So drunk, guys. I want to share a minute before we start it, but because this movie, and it's funny because it was so protested by Christians, this movie was when it came out. In fact, I was in my religious days, so I didn't watch it. I thought, oh, it's not accurately portraying heavenly realities, you know? How many of you guys have seen that movie? What Dreams May Come? I mean, if you were here last year, you saw it. But, dude, this movie, like, for all the protest that Christians put about it, it was like, it communicates the gospel, like, so much more than almost anything I've ever seen. The main character, whose name is Christy, by the way. Christy. Little Christy. The whole movie is about basically what happens after you die, kind of, but really that's just the shallow, the depth of it is that there's this family, and they love each other, and they have so much joy in the family, and then the kids die, I think, in the car accident, and so that just, you know, I mean, how hard, difficult that is, and, dude, there's so much whack on this, honestly. The kids die in a car accident, and then the parents are so troubled, and the mom is like, freaks out. She basically goes kind of crazy, you know? And if any of you have lost a child or known someone who does, I mean, it can do that. It's wild. I mean, in our community, we've dealt with some of this stuff. Can I have the lights for like 5 more minutes or whatever? Is that all right? I'm going to ramble. But, I mean, we've had family members and friends in our home community that have passed, and it really does want to, you know, bring you back to, like, you know, when somebody just lost a child, you're not like, here, someone! Although we've done that to some people, you know what I mean? And like, because we're just like, you know, you're drunk, you don't even realize what someone's been through, you know what I mean? And that's why, like, when a lot of this stuff happens, you go back and you say, you know what, the depth of this message isn't like just some crazy like manifestation or whatever. Although it is, because Jesus is a manifestation. Yes. But it's really about carrying that tangible love. That's just like, it's just nuts. And so in this movie, the kids die, and then the wife kind of goes, you know, crazy because of all the pain and the love, and then she commits suicide, and then,
he dies
in a car accident, the husband dies, yep. And then she commits suicide, because she just lost everyone in her family, and to them, I mean, they were so close, and they were soulmates, and so then the rest of the movie is about, she goes to hell, because she was a suicide, that's just how it goes in the movie, you know, but he's in heaven, the husband's in heaven. So the husband gets to heaven, there's this amazing scene, you know, where it's like he's in one of her paintings and he's like, just, he's able to like fly and like the colors are so bright and it's amazing. But like, you know, he only lasts like 30 seconds before he's like, where's my wife?
Yeah!
I've never told this without being able to cry, but. If you just want to get the love whack tonight, man, just come and like lay on the front or something, dude, as this movie plays. Because I... he doesn't last very long before he's like, where's my wife? I love that. Like, because this is where the gospel is just so clearly communicated, because this is Jesus in the incarnation. Like, God loves heaven and everything. Like, I love the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. But you know what? Like, it's not about God being far away. It means God's always maintained that heavenly perspective. The Father always has a heavenly perspective. Not that the Father's far away, but the Father always has this heavenly perspective. The Father's always in heaven, but Jesus proves in the incarnation that it's not about escaping. This drunkenness isn't about escaping into some like heavenly euphoria. It's about experiencing the tangible love that couldn't stay in heaven without you.
Oh, wow.
That wouldn't. And what I love about Jesus is Jesus comes as the light switch to say, we thought that God was distant. We thought that God was angry. We thought that God was anything but pure unconditional love. And that's what every religion is based off, some other view of God that's not unconditional love. So Jesus comes and says, I will be with you in whatever. You might not have the heavenly perspective of that our Father in heaven has. In fact, we got so confused that we killed ourselves, like in this movie. We literally, like, killed our own existence. You know, God said, if you eat of this fruit, you'll surely die. Because to go into this illusion that most people are living in is just death. Wow. It's just spiritual death. It's not living. Right? But Jesus is like, dude, like, I love my heavenly state of existence, but if I'm the only one that's, like, jacked up and living in joy, and my wife's not here, it doesn't matter. Like, I'll trade it all.
Wow.
You know?
And, oh, my God.
Yeah. Drink that, dude. He'd trade it all. You're like, I don't feel very whack. Jesus is like, you know what? I'll trade it all just to be with you right where you are.
Wow.
Right, however you're feeling right now is how I want to feel, just because I want to be with you.
Yeah.
Where you are. And so in the Word becoming flesh, Jesus comes to say, like, you know, the Word was already with us. Because the Bible says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But in the incarnation, he gives us a reference point for all of human history to say, listen, like, pre-cross, post-cross, during the cross, I was with you. Whatever you were experiencing, I experienced that. Because my heaven isn't about being far away. You are my heaven. Like, the gospel, Jesus and the incarnation and the life, death, and resurrection matters to me. Because it's way more than any spiritual, like, euphoria that you can get from anything else. Knowing that you are always loved, that God is always, not just with you, but in you, as you. Some of you were, like, raped and molested as a child. Jesus wasn't just with you. He was in you being that experience. He knows. Not just because he knows, because he watched. No, he watched it in you, with you, as you. He felt it.
Yeah.
And for him to be with you in that moment of your greatest pain was his heaven. Is his heaven.
Wow. Oh my God.
Wow. And so I just want to watch this. It's like a 15-minute clip, but I promise you won't get bored.
Wow.
Because what you're going to see is the main character, Christy, says, I can't be in heaven without my wife. And you're going to see him go to the depths of hell to get his wife. And just watch what happens. So.
Thanks guys, for making that work. So did you catch what was going on there?
I don't know about you, but I just see the parallels, man. And Jesus. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but you may want to go back and watch. It's like, you know, that part where they're in the garden and they're talking to each other. They're all wearing green and stuff, you know. That was the scene from when they were both alive on the earth, and she goes crazy and he comes. It's kind of like their law period, where he comes and he tries to use the divorce papers to motivate her to like come with him into sanity. And what's so amazing, it kind of works in the movie, but it only works temporarily. If you've ever tried your own efforts, like, you might be able to clean yourself up for a little bit, but eventually she kills herself because it's just too much. And so she's in hell, and she's like, I love the line where he's like, I tried everything and it didn't work, and she's like, then you joined me. And there's been a lot of pictures of like Christ presented to the world, but there's only one Jesus that intoxicates us with unconditional love, and it's the Jesus that I firmly believe in the incarnation. He communicates that he would have stayed with us in hell. And in fact, it's going to take some people a long, long time to awaken. You know what I mean? Like, some people, it's just too scandalous. Especially, like, this woman, she'd been through so much. And I don't know about you, but I believe most sin is just a result of all the pain that people have experienced. You know? And we as a church have been blaming people for just responding in an unhealthy way to the fact that they were molested or raped or watched their family members die. We've had the gall to tell suicide cases that they're going to burn in hell forever. Or that, you know, because you just couldn't get your act together and live a moral life after all the crap that you've been through that wasn't even your fault. You know? And, well, what about sin, brother? You know? Well, the divorce papers don't work. You know?
Yeah.
It's not threatening somebody with divorce. Threatening by whatever means, using fear, doesn't work. But what unlocks our heart to this absolute bliss, you know, what can finally elevate you to the heights of heaven is when you know that literally whatever happens, like, you are going to be loved. And not just loved, but like joined, like pursued. That even if you put yourself in a hell for a billion years, Jesus is willing to be in that hell with you for a billion years, if that's as long as it takes. I love that movie. Like, people were upset about it and stirred up by its misrepresentations, and maybe there's a couple of untruths in there, like in anything, you know what I mean? But dude, you see in this a picture of someone that would say, you know what, I tried coming to the depths of hell and I couldn't convince you, so I'll just, you're my heaven. Let's just stay here, wherever it is, you know? So if you're not feeling the bliss, or if there's ever a moment where you're like, you know, I'm just confused. Like, I'm just stuck. Like, just know, dude, that there, you couldn't get one inch closer to God at that point. You know, you couldn't. You are absolutely cherished and embraced. That your Jesus has gone to the very depths of hell. He's seen it. He knows what you've been through. He understands. The word made flesh means you have an eternal reference point for the God that understands everything you've been through. And he's just saying, you know, it's okay. let's just hang out in this. Let's just be together in this. Let's just be together right now, you know, where you're at. The tangible love of this kind of God. Hey, your efforts are not necessary. I don't know about you, but I've been confused in my life. And I couldn't work up a scrap of bliss. but experiencing this kind of tangible love and looking at that God that would... You know, what I love in this movie too is just like Jesus at the cross, Christy says, she's like, he's like, I can forgive you. But it's not for what you think even. She's like, you mean forgiving me for doing all this bad stuff? And he's like, no, I can just forgive you for being so amazing that a guy would leave heaven just and live in hell forever with you. He wasn't too concerned about the other stuff. So, anyway, that's what we're drinking. Amen? I think I'm done. Thanks, guys.